Techno Progressivo. You are listening to Techno Progressivo on 101.9 CITR in Vancouver.
Welcome to Techno Progressivo. I'm DJ Waugh, and you're listening to 101.9 CITR here in Vancouver. I'm proud to work and live on the unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. Tonight, it's all about the Prog House. I've got an excellent interview feature and guest mix on tap for you this evening with New York-based DJ and producer Naz, and we will get to that shortly. But first, let's check out this episode's track of the week. This one is out on Horizon Records. It's Simon Doty's remix of Alaris' track, Close to You. Okay, a great track of the week there. Valaris gets the Simon Doty touch. Close to You is the title of that, and it's out now on Horizon and can be had wherever you buy your tracks. On to the feature for tonight's episode. Naz is an up-and-coming producer who has made an impression on the scene with some beautiful-sounding proggy tracks. I was fortunate to be able to interview her following the release of her latest track, Night Rider. Here we talk production, VR, books, and her plans for the future. The lead track here is titled Underwater, a collaboration with vocalist Deanna Lee. Full tracklist and a selection of Naz weblinks can be found at Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. This is DJ Waugh speaking to Naz. Originally from Australia, she's currently based out of NYC and has been producing and DJing for the past 5 years. With releases on Anjuna Deep Escape and her own New Eden Records, she's making a mark on the scene. Gig-wise, she's played at Brooklyn Mirage, Montreal's Picnic Electronique, Creamfields, and on and on. Her latest release is Night Rider, a collaboration with 88 Birds. It dropped on Valentine's Day and is available wherever you buy your tracks, so check that out. It's my pleasure to be speaking to her. This is Naz. And kicking things off here today, how would you currently define your sound, and would you say it's evolved or shifted over time?
I guess my sound is defined by mood, really. It really kind of depends on, you know, what kind of mood I'm in when I'm making a song, whether it's something that, you know, I'm not just the mood that I'm in, but also the mood that I'm maybe trying to reflect, whether it's on a dance floor or whether it's kind of thinking about, you know, the listener on the other end. But I would say ultimately it's very mood driven, if that makes sense.
Okay, and thinking way back to the beginning here, can you think of a couple of tracks that really hooked you on this music?
Oh God, absolutely. Firstly, it was Sasha Omna. It's a B-side of his Arkham Asylum record from, I think this came out in, was it 96? For me, that record is like the true epitome of progressive. And, you know, Sasha's a legend. And you know, he nails that progressive sound very well. But I think that song, you know, it goes on for about 8 minutes or so. But that really, I remember hearing that and thinking, wow, what is this? And what is this kind of journey that this song is taking me on? So that was one. And then the other one, and this was really defined by, like, I had a fake ID when I was 14 and kind of went underage clubbing with my older friends. And at that time, you know, the electro stuff was really in at the time. And I remember, you know, like Blood Von Stroke and that whole era, that I remember going to the clubs at that time, that was what was really popular, and getting into that, and then sort of going down a rabbit hole of other genres of electronic dance music and, you know, discovering sort of this whole new world. And I would be, you know, at school with my little Discman of burnt CDs of all this just like dance music. And yeah, like I was thoroughly, thoroughly obsessed.
We'll be right back.
Okay, and can you tell us about the process of building up your reputation both as a DJ and producer? And what prompted the move from Australia to the US, and how is that all working out for you?
So initially, I had like a bit of a turning point in my personal life where I kind of went, you know, I choose to chase my passion. I worked a, you know, very much a professional office life prior to this. And I kind of, I guess, had a midlife crisis at the age of 30 and was like, you know, I just want to have fun, and I don't want to live the rest of my life doing something that I'm really kind of depressed about and bored in. And music has been my passion. So I started to learn electronic music production again. I picked it up briefly when I was like 19. I had like an old copy of Logic Express, and then I had to put that aside because life happened. So I did that in 2019 and then started dabbling in DJing, got a few gigs, and it started to pick up. And then COVID happened, which, you know, kind of just put a halt in everything. But it sort of meant that I got to really focus on the production side of things. And I got signed to Statement Records, which was a sub-label of Armada. That was the very first music that I'd ever had signed. It was the EP, two tracks. And I remember kind of in the middle of pandemic being like, okay, I don't think Australia is, this isn't the place for me anymore. I need a change. And so I sold everything that I owned and sold my house and packed a suitcase and moved to Amsterdam, and kind of just been sort of on this weird, crazy journey since then, like I would say August 2020.
Okay, let's talk about production here. Which DAW are you currently working with? You did mention Logic earlier. Is that the one that you still use?
No, I'm not using Logic. I use Ableton now.
And then within Logic, are you using typically their stock plugins, or do you like to bring in a lot of your own external VSTs and possibly your own hardware as well?
The main stuff I use, I love Serum for sound design particularly. I think Serum's really, I've gotten very comfortable and used to sort of, you know, creating and designing sounds within Serum, which has been great. I also love a lot of the Arturia products like Pigments. They have some really cool soundscapes. that you can, you know, it's also great for sound design. They're really easy, user-friendly sort of tweaking that you can do there. The VSTs within the stock Ableton VSTs are good. They're great, actually, but I don't use them as often as I should, I think. I've kind of gotten used to this flow of, yeah, sort of using what I have. And when it comes to hardware, to be honest, it's been tough because, like, I'd been sort of on the road and didn't have a permanent home base for the last 3 years. It's only recently that I finally, like, settled down in New York, that I have at my own place, and I, you know that I'm not going to have to leave in 3 months or whatever. So I've been working very much in the box, but I very much do want to sort of be able to, you know, find a place where I can set up a studio and get some cool synths and start my hardware collection.
Okay, let's talk about your production process here. When you're making tracks, do you typically have a tune or a melody in your head in advance and then try to replicate that on the computer? Or are you content just to sit at the computer or play around and see where that leads?
Sometimes it's a bit of both, really. Like, sometimes I'll have ideas and, you know, you pull out the old voice recorder on your phone and you kind of hum an idea that you'll kind of rush back home to work on. But sometimes it's just like, I'll start my day and open up Ableton and, you know, either start with like a bass pad or, you know, a drum groove or something, and then just kind of build from there. So it really just depends. It can be a bit of both, really.
Okay, your latest track dropped a few weeks back. How did that all come together, and what was the process of collaborating with 88 Birds like?
Yeah, so that one, actually, I remember I did the original instrumental for that track in like 2 years ago almost now, and I was sitting on it and I was like, okay, you know, it needs a vocal. And I knew 88 Birds, you know, she's a friend of mine and I absolutely love her voice, and I sent it to her and I was like, hey, you know, what do you think of this? And she loved it as well, and so she came back with this idea and I was just blown away, and it fit with the track really well, but the instrumental I just felt wasn't doing the vocal justice. So it took me a good year and a half to really of going back and forth on that, of multiple tries, multiple different versions, different styles to really kind of be happy with it. And what's funny is that ultimately the version that's out now is the one that's closest to the original version that I had.
Night Rider was released on your own label, New Eden Records. How has the process of running your own label been for you?
I mean, it's been great. You know, it's really, I think, really interesting to sort of see what goes on behind sort of running a label and what's required and sort of the effort that goes into it. Ultimately, what prompted me to do this is what I just wanted ultimate creative freedom to, you know, release what I wanted to, but also within the confines of what New Eden is about, and which is, you know, kind of offering this multimedia, multi-pronged sort of experience where we have, you know, the books and we have the visuals and the releases and sort of bringing that all together. So yeah, and I wanted to sort of launch something a little bit different and a little bit new that, you know, in the future open that up to other creators to kind of jump on board as well.
Okay, let's talk about the videos for these tracks. They have a full fantasy game vibe to them. Is that something you're creating, or is that something that you're sourcing out?
So I have a VFX designer. His name is Jimmy, and he is insanely talented. So basically, you know, my business partner, John Carnes, and I and myself, we kind of sit down and we have, you know, the stories for the chapters and the plot kind of book one that we've written out. And we kind of, you know, we communicate that with Jimmy and we go back and forth on ideas. And then Jimmy then builds the story within Unreal Engine. And that's how it all, yeah, comes together.
Earlier, some of the gigs that you had done from that list or even others, can you think of some that have really stood out as wow moments for you?
Creamfields, that was my very first festival booking, and it stood out for me because a lot of, as well, you know, A, getting to kind of play that festival was insane and very massive. I'd been doing this at that time, it was like a year and a half, 2 years, so it was very much a pinch me moment. But seeing so many artists after I played, I got to like sort of run around and see so many artists that I loved, like Carl Cox, Art Bat, Tale of Us, Scream. I remember standing behind Scream and just like as he was playing, and I was just thinking, is this real? Like, is this actually happening? Am I here? What am I doing here? You know, very much imposter syndrome. And I cried during Art Bat's set, so that was nice. So that was definitely one.
Okay, let's talk about the future here. Where do you want to continue to take this, both in DJing and production? And what role do you see all of those visuals playing in your overall live shows?
Yeah, so really the focus, especially, you know, we've got a lot of plans for this year for New Eden. We've got a pretty strong and busy roadmap. We want to ultimately bring this concept to events. So everything that we're making within Unreal Engine, it's all VR capable. So we're working on a pop-up launch event later in the year, around September, where, you know, we will invite, you know, industry people, fans, friends and family to kind of see what it is that we're doing. You know, we're talking 360 visuals, projection mapping, DJ set, and some VR stands where people can see what the worlds look like within VR, which we plan to then release later down the track as well. So we're working really hard on that at the moment. We're also working on the first book. So at the moment, every release, we're kind of releasing teasers on our website. They're not full chapters, they're just teasers. And so, but we're behind the scenes, we're writing full chapters in the full books that we're aiming to sort of for the end of the year to have that done. And then also, you know, writing more music, more releases, more shows. But yeah, that's kind of the next year is we've got a lot of stuff that we're working on.
This has been Naz. A selection of her tracks can be found on Beatport, Apple Music, Spotify, Juno Download, and Bandcamp. As well, a full list of her web links can be found on the Techno Progressivo Facebook page. Remember to check out Night Rider, which is available now on New Eden Records, anywhere you buy your music. Thank you very much for doing this.
Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke weed every day.
Pick up a copy around Vancouver or fuck with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theater, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theater, visit their website at www.riotheater.ca.
You are listening to the Naz Interview here on Techno Progressivo. I'm DJ Wah, and the station is 101.9 CITR. That half of the interview wrapped up with the track Me and You. Full track list and a selection of Naz web links can be found on Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. The second part of the show features a guest mix by Naz showcasing her progressive stylings. This kicks off with her latest collab alongside 88 Birds. This is Night Rider.
I took some time to breathe out. care so much about the things we've got, but we'll show it to people that we love. Thoughts creeping up when we're alone. We'll try to make it on our own. We'll be right back.
What's up, y'all? This is Boys Noise.
This is DJ Linus.
This is Andy Clockwork.
This is DJ Leanne.
This is Ian Howie.
Hey, what's up? This is Sid, and you're listening to Techno Progressivo.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting local music for over 30 years. Thanks to the long-term support of the Rickshaw Theater, Discorder lives. Your favorite bands are playing at the Rickshaw Theater. Check out their calendar just behind the cover of Discorder Magazine or at rickshawtheater.com.
We are all done for another episode of Techno Progressivo. Thank you so much to Naz for agreeing to interview and sharing her guest mix. It was an absolute pleasure to interview her. Full track list and a selection of Naz weblinks can be found at Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. Head over there to find out more about the mind behind the music. If you've enjoyed the show and want to hear it again, visit the Techno Progressivo show page at citr.ca or Apple Podcasts to give this one another spin or to hear more great guest mixes and interviews from days gone by. Keep up to date with Techno Progressivo. Follow our socials, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and SoundCloud. Attic Jams is up next on the station. Stick around to see what they've got in store for you tonight. Before we go, let's do as we always do and set the controls in the time machine for this episode's track from the past. For this one, we're going to hop back 14 years in time to 2010 to showcase a progressive track from Montreal's Sultan. This is G Strings. Enjoy this, and I'll see you back here next time.